Welcome to the Living Farms podcast, where voices from around the world come together to shape the future of biodynamic agriculture.
Welcome to our Living Farms podcast. We are now starting a very beautiful aspect of our work in agriculture, which is humus, which is the soil, which is part of what we as farmers devote so much attention and love and knowledge to develop our soils. It's so important. And in this traveling, in this passage that we have been through, we started our voyage speaking about the human, and we had beautiful interventions there from the pedagogy aspect of the human being and its development, from medicine, where we spoke about the development of the human being, and then we had a beautiful, amazing contribution about from a priest, what is the human being from this point of view. Then we went on to speak about the cosmos, which is so important for our biodynamic work and research. And the topics there were around astronomical, alchemical, and very practical aspects, also with the esoteric. And today we have our first module of what is the part of humus. We will have three aspects. And we have the honor and the privilege and the joy of sharing today's podcast with Uli Horta. And he is co-leader of the section with me. And since 2010, 15 years of amazing work, he is a board member of the General Anthroposophical Society since 2020. And he has participated in so many things. For 30 years, he has been a farmer in Switzerland. And this is where I would like to start. Welcome, Uli. It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you for inviting me, Eduardo.
So now I would like to speak to you. You have so many aspects in your biography. Today, I would like to start this conversation from the farmer aspects of your life. You were a farmer for 30 years in one of the most important farms in Europe, creating an amazing entrepreneurship with your farm. And I wanted to start with a question that is very dear and very profound to most farmers, but that it's sometimes a little bit abandoned, a little bit forgotten, even though it's at the center of our work. And this is the humus. This is the soil itself. So from your experience as a farmer, what is humus for you?
Yes, frankly spoken, humus was everywhere, was always present, but I never have seen him. You know, with this I will say, all striving of a farmer is, when you say humus, it's enlightened. Yes, this is what we are working for. But then when you look closer and you take the term, and it has different levels, the term, frankly spoken, I have never seen him, but he was a very reliable coworker. So first answer I would give to you is, yeah, we worked close together, humus and me as a farmer.
It's so beautiful because it's a mystery. And mysteries are so beautiful, especially in our anthroposophical world. We get immersed into these aspects of what is a mystery, what are we working with when we work in the land. Many times in many parts of the world, you start working in a farm where you can perceive it's very dead. The soil is not living. It seems to be abandoned. It seems to be overworked and abused. And we have to bring back something. I guess the first thing that we bring is our consciousness as humans. But then we have to build the soil. And there are very different ways of doing this. And in Europe, you have a different challenge. I wouldn't say you're blessed completely because you also have challenges in Latin America, in the desert, in the jungle. We have different challenges to work with the soil and to build this humus. How did you start working with your land in Switzerland?
Well, one does, I would say, the best one can, a proper agricultural work. One farms the best one can. And what means this? This means that you have learned it somehow and you have some ideals with you and you came to a new land, to a new farm. In my case, after having been an apprenticeship and a student for many years, I stepped in, taking over my farm in Loubier, and then you apply what you have learned. And it's all wrong. It's all wrong. You do as we have done, for example, on Dottenfelderhof, and it was a catastrophe. So you learn to look to your neighbors. Oh, they do as you have never thought you should also do. But then you say, they are here for many generations. Can't be so completely wrong what they do. And so from your ideals, you came more and more to the reality on the place you are. And yeah, you learn together with your soil, with your crops, with your animals, a year after a year. And I would say it takes 5 to 7 years in order that you really have now the new ideals, the new, let's say, perspectives, which are adapted to the very situation you are in. And it's an agricultural situation, meaning depending on the soil, on the orientation of your land, of sea level, of climate, and so on. It's also a reality in a social dimension. In which degree are you alone? Are you part of an common enterprise? Do you have co-workers, apprenticeships or not? And it's also an economical, realization you have to take in your hands, because perhaps you can do nicely work oriented towards nature, but at the end of the year, perhaps you have nothing to sell. So this all came together, I would say, the agricultural ecological situation, then the social situation, and then the economical situation. And in my experience, it takes 5 to 7 years to build up the real, let's say, farm organism who, yeah, is more or less in your hands. And then it goes on. And I would say even the last 7 years of my 30 years of being on the same spot, it was still a huge evolution. Yeah. And coming back to humus, I said I never saw him, but he was always ready and present. And by the way, he was there before me. It's this kind of co-workers. They are there before you came. And when you leave and you hand over your farm, he stays. So it's a overgenerational co-worker. And he has a brother. And he has a brother. And the brother is clay. So humus comes from the organic side, being a very specific matter. And clay comes from the mineral side, being also a very specific, on the border of what is mineral, we have clay. And on the border of what is organic, meaning plants, is the humus. So the two, they are in this way important. And I would say biodynamics means not only to be humus farmers, but also to be clay farmers. We have to take the two into consideration.
This is so important to remember. There is a whole community of things happening in the soil. It's not just one. It's many things and many aspects. Some are more living than others. Do you remember your first crop? Do you remember your first successful crop when you said, I think I did something correct? What was it?
I'm not sure if it was the first one, but I remember very well. No, it was not the first one, but it was an important situation. So the challenge on the site I have been farming on has been to have enough fodder for the cows for the winter time, because it was dry and sandy, silty soils. And yeah, then you go towards the summertime and your grassland is no longer productive. And of course, one has clover grass or alfalfa grass in the crop rotation. But you came out of the summer and then you have the autumn. And when you start really to go to the winter, it was always kind of not having really, let's say, abundant quantities of fodder. And a biodynamic farm organism is all around this inner cycle, huh? To have enough fodder, for to have the good manure, for to have then the good compost. And this is the inner cycle of the substances, which is, I would say, key of the success. And then I observed again my neighbors, and they did maize. And the maize, you can see it in end of May or until 15 of June. And then he likes the heat in the summer. So he grows. And I observed they had two main harvests of fodder, the one with the grassland and the one with the maize. And I said myself, hey, come on. But this was exactly this. Maize was not possible in biodynamics. You know, it was the representative of industrialist agriculture. Never maize. And I have seen, if I would do maize, perhaps it would work. And then I did. And then the sowing happened. And then we have a festivity in St. John's, and we go with 40, 50 people through the fields. I show them what happens this year. And the lines of the maize, and it has perhaps been 15 centimeters high, the plant. So you could easily walk through the lines. And this was so soft, this soil. It was like a cloud. And all of the people, the elderly one or the children, they felt it, yeah? So it was a kind of, this was a kind of, let's say, yeah, success of the crop, but it came from this soil, of this very, living soil. And I knew then this will work well. And at the end of the year, this maize was even higher, but by 50 centimeters of my neighbor's maize, who did all the chemicals and all what is normally done with maize. So I'm still proud looking back to this maize field. Yeah.
This is very nice. I come from the land of maize.
We adapted somehow. Yes. And I did then some years through, I did the maize. And I resolved my problem of having enough fodder.
This is very beautiful, because in a way, for us in Latin America, maize is an ancient crop that we don't necessarily link it to industrial. I think it was in the USA where they converted into massive industrial production. But you are right. This is a very, let's say, good way of seeing if your soil is healthy. Mm. When you feel, you see the plant and feel the soil, and you know you are creating something well. You're doing something well in your land, and then it expresses, and then it starts a new cycle, because it goes into the cow, then into the milk, then into the cheese, and then into the customers. And you start this cycle of humus, which connects to the human. Yeah.
And I think this is very crucial. Now, coming from the climate discussion, one thinks the more humus you have, the better it is. But this is not true from an agronomical point of view. You need the right degree of humus, and you need different kind of humus. You need the one who is going on throughout the years and even the generations, and then you need this fraction of humus which really, let's say, transforms itself in the crop and is gone. But then you have the yield. And with the yield, let's say, of grain, you have also the straw and you have also the roots. So we have kind of three yields, the one for people and two for the one for the animals, the straw, and then the one for the soil, the roots. And in this way, the humus has to be in life. It has to be not fixed. And let's say blocked. This is completely a wrong picture, imagination. It has to have a base, and then the most part of the humus has to be in the cycle of the life.
This is very remarkable, because that's exactly what we mean by living. When we think of living, we think of a fixed thing, but living is exactly that. It goes high, it goes low, it breathes, it changes along the year. Then you have tremendous climate changes. You have to change your strategy and it becomes a different soil. But then once you have a living soil, the quality of the whole farm starts changing, because you are moving forward in the living aspect, and this invades, or let's say, affects positively the whole farm, including the humans.
Yeah. And there is not one turning point. Huh? You do different steps with your farm and with yourself, by the way. And I remember very good in 2003, we had a very dry year. It was before climate change really happened. Huh? It was just dry. Happens in Switzerland each 30 years, but it was one of these very dry years. And then in midst of August, rain came back, and we did all kind of intercropping and then we did silage for the cows and so on. And at the end of the year, when I looked to my balance sheet and to my profit loss accountability, it was fine. It was. And there I checked. My farm is my partner. We will do each year together, and we will, at the end of the year, what has been, let's say, not harmonious in the year, will balance out. So this is one of the stages you can reach, that you can build up a confidence to your farm that whatever conditions are, and perhaps you have less yield, but perhaps the price is higher. Perhaps you have whatever happens. So this happened for me after more or less 14 years. And then there come other steps. Yeah.
It's also very interesting the way you say it, because in a way, when you have a living soil, it tends to, let's say, balance itself out in a way that a dead soil doesn't. So this living soil that has the capacity of, let's say, redistributing different changes, like the homeostasis in the body of the human. So you go out, it's hot, you go in, it's cold, etc. And you always have this living aspect that helps you stabilize, or let's say, keep a range where things can happen.
Yeah. And soil is one of these spheres, I would name it, where you can create this kind of inner capacity to be resilient. It's not the only one. Another one is in your chapter, in your herd of your animals. Huh? Also there you do steps and you can create. It was the case with my cows that, yeah, it was the same, huh? A kind of inner capacity to deal with whatever condition. And a third one is really with the crops. If you learn which variety really you take and how you deal with each of the varieties of the different species you do, and how you do with the manuring and how it is in the crop rotation, so there also you can build up a kind of resilience by, I would say, best practice approach.
Yes. So maybe we could say to end this first podcast that when you start building your soil, when you start creating this, what we call humus or living soils, it is a starting point that helps you develop other things in the farm that gradually become harmonizing, or what we call the organism, the farm organism. But it starts with living aspects. Could we say that? Would you agree to this?
Yes, it is in this way a kind of a archetype. And an archetype is not to be seen. It has to be active, yeah? And humus, what one sees, what one works with, is the soil. And it's more living, less living, depends the different parts of your farm and so on. And humus is therein, as clay, as limestone, as the silicates. Huh? So these are the four of the brothers and sisters for to build up fertile soil. And fertile soil means, yeah, that it can dissolve its fertility in the crop and then recreate a fertility for the next crop. Huh? So it's in this life cycle. And of course, soil is in this way really the ground we are standing on. And when I handed over my farm, at the end, when I look now, it's now 6 years back, many, many things change, but not the soil. So what I handed over as a very, let's say, ongoing quality is the soil. And this is the intergenerational contract one has among farmers, that what I farm actually will be farmed by my successors. And what I farm now, I have taken on from my
predecessors.
And in this way, farming needs the engagement of each generation, but looking to the soil, it's an activity and an engagement which goes over generations.
That's an amazing image. And I think this idea of enlivening a soil and inheriting it to the next generation is such a beautiful image. I think with this, we can close this first podcast. And thank you so much, Uli, these reflections of your own biography and your own insights into agriculture are very valuable.
You're welcome. And yeah, heart becomes warm looking back to these years.
Thank you, Uli.